Hey, all, welcome to the Common Good Podcast. Wow, listen to that voice. That sounds like a voice of a guy that's tired. May 7th, 2024. Minneapolis, I'm going to clear up today. Be springy. 70 or something. Just ideal. It's the Tuesday of start of May, before Mother's Day. Day before my favorite birthday of the year. Shelly Paz's birthday. Tomorrow. So, just all kinds of buying little, you know, birthday and Mother's Day things. That's our thing.
Does Peggy listen to the podcast? Or does Shelly listen to the podcast?
You cannot talk about Peggy when Shelly's around. We've been through this. Keep it down. Shelly does listen to the podcast. Yes.
Okay. I was going to ask what you were getting her for her birthday, but I won't do that lest you spoil it.
Well, you feel free to ask because I don't know. It's not until
Well, I think people should throw into the comments, fill up the comment section with suggestions for what Doug should get Shelly for her birthday.
Could you help a friend? What was that? What was that show where you'd phone a friend? Man, that was
nice. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Hey, little piece of Ryerson family trivia.
Okay.
You remember when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire first came out and it was a raging sensation that made Regis Philbin a fashion icon? You remember that with the monochrome suits and shirts and ties? That was all Regis Philbin, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Okay. Late 90s sensation.
Oh, wow.
You would have to qualify for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire by calling in and answering a bunch of questions, and it was a whole thing. And then they would have 10 people who would make the show, and then they would be on the air, and they would have the fastest finger contest, and whoever answered the question the fastest actually got into the circle and had the chance to win the money.
Okay.
My sister was a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Did she win a million bucks?
No, she did not. She never made it into the center of the circle. She missed the fastest finger by like 0.13 seconds. Like it was, but
is everybody classic slow finger Ryerson syndrome?
Exactly.
Ryerson has been known for just don't have the speed.
Yep.
You know, great pitcher. They just don't have the heat. They just can't bring it.
Yeah, that's right. My sister Kathy on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire back in the heyday.
So she got into the group of 10, the circle of 10.
Yeah, but didn't. Had the whole trip to New York to be on the show and was on the air.
Did you get to go or did you?
No, I stayed home and watched her kids.
Okay.
Babysat like a good uncle.
How does that work? Do they get like one night in a hotel? They put them up for the long weekend? Do you have any idea? Do you remember this at all?
I think it was two nights. I think it was two nights, but it was a long time ago.
Promotional
considerations paid for by the following.
By the following, the Astoria Hotel. Yeah,
exactly. Boy,
we could use a little promotional considerations paid for by around here.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Hey, listen, anybody, you know, your company out there that wants to sponsor the show, we will shill it. We'll put their sticker on the Vote Common Good bus and. For traveling around the country,
you don't tell us what not to say. I've had many a podcast. You know, I started podcasting in 2006.
Yeah,
2006, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what we're not around in 2006? I don't think iPods or something. Like they weren't even called podcasts, barely.
Yeah, it was like internet radio.
I did. I had one on Blogspot Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had
Blogspot. Wow, I had a Blogspot blog.
No, I'm sorry. Not Blogspot Radio. Thank you. I'm sure Mike Stavlin right now is just screaming into his handheld device. Blogspot was the blogging platform.
Yes. I had a blog on for a very long time.
Oh, is it still up, I think?
Might be able to find somewhere. It was called the Grenzian. Named after Yeah, named after theologian Stan Grenz.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, he died early.
Yeah, he did. Very sad.
Often, actually. I knew when he died. And he's
one of
my age now, and it's like,
yeah, one of the most influential theologians on my thinking.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Blog Talk Radio.
Excellent.
I was combining blogs and radio because I thought blogs had become cesspools of argument. Had no idea what was coming.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It was not.
Someday
it was
the
pristine, clear blue waters compared to.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Elon Musk's future
that,
of America.
Yes. That microblogging that I remember the first time I learned about Twitter at a friend who sent me an email and he said, "Hey, you need to check this out. It's like microblogging."
Mm-hmm.
And I think you would love it. And
yeah, you blogged at the early days. I was in on Twitter early
mm-hmm.
when you could still post by sending a text message, because that
yes.
was the early technology that you would use
yep.
your texting.
Yep.
Maybe even Q9, L9, L. What was the 9 typing style where you use the numbers?
Oh yeah, I don't remember what that was called. I remember doing it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Our kids will never understand. And listen, two things about the early days of Twitter. One, I have a friend, a state senator here in Arkansas, whose Twitter handle is @G.
Boom.
He was that early of an adopter. His name is Greg Letting, state senator here in Arkansas. Twitter handle @G.
How did he get in so early? Do you know?
He's an early adopter of things. He just
he was an insider guy. He just
I asked him once. I was like, Greg, how did you get this? And he's like, I just was very early.
Signed up.
And I'll tell you, you know what I miss about Twitter?
Nothing.
I mean, so many things.
No.
The fail whale. Remember the fail whale?
Dude.
Like Twitter used to go down all the time, and there you'd get that logo of like the little birds holding the whale up out of the water. And
I liked it. Yeah. I liked it when Twitter went down. It made you feel more comfortable. Like, okay, hang on. It's back on now. Here we go. You know,
Exactly.
It's like your radio going out, or just, I don't know, the little failures just kind of make you feel like, well, we're going to settle in here. All right.
So
not guaranteed.
Or it also had the feeling of like, this thing's so big, like I'm a part of something so big that it's crashing the servers. Oh, big time. Super fun.
I guess, my attitude would have been, why didn't they just pay for more server space? But I guess no one can figure out how to make money off of just complaint. People want it. People will do it.
Yep.
People ain't going to pay for it. Do you pay now? Are you on your Twitter account?
No.
Do you have to do you give them any money?
No, that's why I rarely post on social media much anymore. I mostly just lurk. Though I did post yesterday. If people want to find me on X, it's @RobRyerse, and Rob is with 2 B's. @RobRyerse. I shared. I quote tweeted a very long thread about the hush money trial of Donald Trump and its significance in understanding how Trump got elected president.
Oh.
And
did you write this or did you?
No. I read it. It was like 60 tweets long. It was like an article. Huh. It was fantastic though. Really, really good.
Really?
Basically the
I'll read it.
Yeah, it was really fantastic and insightful. I think it was from Sean Abramson, who's that's his name, has written a biography or two of Trump, an analysis of him, and some books about Trump, and just really, really insightful. Really, what it boiled down to is that, you know, Trump ran for president, never expecting to win.
Right.
Ran for the purpose of building relationships with foreign entities that he could do business with, namely Russia and Saudi Arabia.
When
the Access Hollywood tapes came out, there was tons of pressure on Trump to drop out. Yeah. And essentially Republicans were ready to just concede the race. And he wanted to stay in. Because if he dropped out, it would hurt his business dealings.
Wow.
And so the Stormy Daniels stuff came up right after the Access Hollywood tapes.
Yeah.
And the reason that Trump was in all of his arrangements before were other people were paying the money for the catch and kill because he's notoriously cheap. Other people were paying, you know, and David Pecker has testified to this, that his National Enquirer had paid for the doorman and maybe Karen McDougal and others. And they had said, no, we're not doing this with Stormy Daniels. But Trump was so desperate to keep his presidential campaign alive, knowing that the Stormy Daniels accusations on the heels of the Access Hollywood would have absolutely cost him both the race. The pressure to drop out would have been so significant. It would have done so much damage to his business, his potential business dealings, that he was willing to personally pay for the hush money for Stormy Daniels, which, you know, Trump is notoriously cheap and, you know, doesn't pay his bills. And it just kind of tying those things together, it was really a fascinating read. Wow. And about how this trial is about what Trump did before he was president. Others are about what he did, and you've made this point, while he was president and after his presidency. But this is the one that really helps us understand how he got elected president, and it explains why the Hillary email thing was reopened, and basically that, and the contention is that the playbook of you know, squashing negative stories in any way possible, relying on foreign entities, intimidating the FBI, all of these things that were the 2016 playbook, it's very likely that they're the 2024 playbook as well.
Yeah,
really fascinating read. People should check it out. I retweeted it, quote tweeted it at Rob Ryersia on X.
Well, thank you for that, and thanks for helping people know that when you say Rob Ryersia on X at Rob Ryersia, that you had to explain to them how to spell Rob.
Yeah, not Ryersia.
They would know how to spell Ryersia. Rob Ryersia, I'll spell that for you. R-O-B-B. Rob Ryersia. Wonderful. Hey, Rob, how are things squirreled away somewhere outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas?
You know, we were right on the edge of some severe storms that blew through the Midwest last night. There were tornadoes and whatnot. We didn't get those. We just got a lot of really heavy rain. And so today it's kind of wet and damp and a little cloudy. Sun start trying to poke through. Has that day where it feels like, it's going to be humid today. Mm-hmm. Like it just kind of has that sense. Yeah.
I had a friend who just went biking with his teenage son, who's a great trail biker. And they went biking in Bentonville.
Yeah. Oh, huge
area. He was,
yes,
all excited about the goodness happening down there in Bentonville. So if people don't already know, there's a lot of things people love about Northwest Arkansas.
Northwest Arkansas is trying to make the case of being one of the biking destinations in the country.
Yeah.
We have an amazing trail system called the Razorback Greenway that goes. You can start in Fayetteville, Arkansas, start at the square in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and end up in the square in Bentonville, Arkansas. Which is like, I don't know.
What are you going to do? Ride back?
Yeah. They have a square to square ride every year where they do, or you have a friend come pick you up, but it's, it's really, really fantastic. And I'm sure they had a blast.
That used to happen to me when I was a kid. Like I remember being 12 years old. And like going on a long bike ride, been biking so far from my house, I had to call my mom to come pick me up. I couldn't ride home.
How'd you get, like, what, did you use a payphone or you just like bum a phone off somebody? Like, borrow? Like,
I distinctly remember going into an ice cream. I remember going into an ice cream shop and asking them if I could use their phone.
Was it long distance?
I didn't ride that far.
Okay. I mean, things that our kids have no concept of. They have no concept of the, like, using the numbers to type on your flip phone. They have no concept of the fail whale on Twitter. They have no concept of long distance. Now we're just old men
is interesting that long distance, you paid a lot.
Yeah.
To call yeah, it was, further.
It was always a bad thing when you like the, I mean, you, mm-hmm. you and Shelly, who has a birthday tomorrow. And again, people need to throw in the comments section, present ideas for, yes. for Doug, for Shelly's birthday tomorrow. Y'all didn't have a long distance relationship. If you ever had a long distance, like that girl you met at camp and then, you know, she was from the other side of the state and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're going to have to write letters and send them in the mail to each other and only be able to talk on the phone once a week because it's just too expensive.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have that with Shelly, but the 1-900 number girlfriend that I had was expensive. Oh,
what?
Yeah.
What now?
Was,
what? What? What?
What? What? Really, what? Really ran up the, the kids of today might not even understand that reference.
I mean, yeah.
For all the millennials and both after millennials, I don't even know what they.
Yeah, want to but them. But listen, there's
and, like, I don't even get that joke. I don't even know why that's.
Oh, funny. Absolutely, and you know, you could use to help reduce the cost 10-10-220. What even was that?
Like, I don't know.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I don't understand the business model of 10-10-220. I don't know.
But I feel like somebody, you know, owns massive amounts of property because of that. Like they figured it out, and they got themselves up in the super riches. Hey, all right, we were a bit on the hush money trial of the former president and likely Republican nominee for president who is in criminal court for crimes he has committed. The judge in that case has cited Donald Trump for acts of contempt of court 10 times on 13 court dates. The trial has been going on for 13 days. He has 10. And apparently in New York, where Donald Trump committed his crimes, the judge only has two options when someone is found in contempt, that they're contemptible to the court of law.
Yes.
Contemptible to the court of law. You can fine them $1,000, specifically $1,000, or put them in jail.
Yep.
And here she is, Shelly Padgett, birthday woman of tomorrow.
Hello.
People think she doesn't exist. I get a lot of that. There is no Shelly Padgett.
That'd be a great ruse.
Thank you.
I'm having this raspy,
and I had to text upstairs. Could you bring me a glass of water?
Yeah, you could not. You if you were gonna like Junior Seau though he didn't actually invent his girlfriend, which is a great Netflix documentary on that. But if you were,
was he accused of such things. Junior Seau?
Yeah.
The football player?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's a fascinating, I think it's True Stories or something like that. It's the Netflix documentary on what happened with Junior Seau is amazing. It's two episodes. It will blow your mind. It's so good. The twists and turns. Yeah. He had a fake girlfriend. I was going to say, if you're going to invent a fake girlfriend, like Junior Seau was accused of doing, you couldn't invent someone as great as Shelly Padgett.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel the same way. Well, the judge who his job is to maintain law and order has found Donald Trump for the 10th time in contempt. And yesterday in court said these words, "The last thing I want to do is put you in jail." Now, I've had judges say things to me. Not that. The last thing I want to do is put you in jail. You are the former president of the United States. Now, I don't know the tone in which he said it. I only have the judge, so I'm going to read it myself. You are the former president of the United States No, I think he probably said you're the former president of the United States and possibly the next president as well. There are many reasons why incarceration is truly the last resort for me. And like Pee Wee Herman, who reminded us that everyone has a big but, he said, but at the end of the day, I have a job to do. So as much as I do not want to propose a jail sanction, I will if necessary. That is incredible. I have fined you $1,000 10 times, and it's clearly not working. It was also part of his comments, one of the things. But this little bit, brutal. The last thing I want to do, it's like that scene from Billy Jack. Did you see that scene from Billy Jack when he comes into the, Billy Jack comes into the cafe and the man's been mean to the young kids and to the native kids. And he says, I try really hard not to lose my temper. Just like that scene. So yeah. I don't know. What's this judge going to do?
We're one step away from the judge saying to Donald Trump, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Like this statement has that feeling of like, oh man. Do you think Donald Trump wants to be jailed?
No, I know that this is up in the air. I know people are talking about it. I think the humiliation is not worth the look how they're treating me, because it's not a winner for him. If he's put in jail for something that the judge has on record for just continuous violations, he loses the argument. They're just politically persecuting me. I mean, he can try, but there's going to be a lot of people that are like, dude, the judge like told you 10, 11, 12 times not to do this.
Yeah. This is the same crowd who's the same crowd who's one of their mantras is just comply. Just comply. You know, just do what you're told to do.
Do what you're told to do, and this doesn't happen to you. Now, Jim is saying in the chat on YouTube, Jim writes, I was sent to jail for 50 days for 16 counts of contempt of court. Jim.
Yeah, Jim, we're gonna need more details on that.
Jim, my God, send me some way. I'll send you the link. We'll pop you on right now. Whenever you're ready, give us the whole thing.
Yeah, we would
I've been in jail for a couple days for some social action things that, you know, federal violations that I get sent to jail for, but not 50 days.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was once sent to jail for a fundraiser for some organization and had to couldn't get out until I had raised $500 or something like that. I had to sit and dial for dollars from the jail cell in hopes of getting out. But that's my only experience. Feels like
either you were in Mayberry and it was that kind of a courthouse and jail, or that feels like a misuse of a very brutal penal
for sure.
system.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's not unlike Donald Trump, though. I mean, him going to jail would be a really significant fundraising opportunity for his campaign. And, he has said that, he's kind of compared himself to Nelson Mandela in that, like, if he goes to jail, you know, he might, he would be like Nelson Mandela, a political prisoner. I don't know. I think... I'm not sure. I'm at the point where, like, we ask this question of, like, well, what's going to make a difference? What's going to sway people? And I'm not sure at this point that anything that happens, I just don't see how, if the things that have already happened have not made a difference, have not convinced people, even the, you know, not just Trump supporters, but the quote unquote undecided. If what has happened already has not convinced them, how does a conviction convince them? How does a jail sentence for contempt of court convince them? We thought the mugshot would do that. Like, well, it's just, I don't know. I I'm losing hope that any of this is going to make a difference in electoral terms. Certainly, the difference that is made in justice being served. That is, as former Attorney General
Bill Barr.
What's his name? Bill? No. Now the
Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions. Thank you. Sure. So like the short, you know, smarmy one. As Jeff Sessions would say, that it is good and lawful in and of itself. Jeff Sessions. Yeah. Justice being served is good and lawful in and of itself. But I just don't know what kind of difference it's going to make electorally. I'm beginning to lose hope that it will make any difference.
I think people look for reasons and rationale to support the decisions that they're making and they're going to make. And I think the more any product that people have a reason that they used to enjoy and a reason to move away from it, it takes a lot. But at some point, everyone has that thing that gives them the permission. And I think a lot of people are just waiting. You know, it's been a steady string of things. The problem here is not on the electoral outcomes. Doesn't seem to me it's so much, will Donald Trump continue to sacrifice these people and self-harm his political chances? It's, will Biden be able to scoop up enough of those people or not bleed out his own support?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a real question.
I mean, beyond the prospect of Donald Trump spending some time in jail, maybe just cellmates with Jim, maybe that would be fantastic. big developments in the case today. Stormy Daniels takes the stand.
Today.
Storm right now, Stormy Daniels.
Storm is a brewing.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, they got to him, and because they had his former, I think, controller, and then his current, accounts payable person, and I heard a little news report today that one of the things that they had to do yesterday, or one of the things they did, is they talked to this guy who, when he was first hired,
he had
to bring Donald Trump how much cash do we have on hand in the business, and it had gone down. And Trump, basically said to the guy, you're fired, but well, not really fired, but how come, our cash on hand is low? And he's like, I paid the bills that we owe. And he told Trump, or Trump told him, your job is not to pay the bills when they come in. Your job is to start negotiating paying the bills. But we have other things to, cash flow problems that we have to be thinking about. So don't just go paying them. This became important because the bill that came from Michael Cohen was just paid without any questions asked. So they're building this whole story, but there's this little anecdote in there about how Trump functioned that he just said, when you get a bill, you don't pay it.
Yeah.
You negotiate it.
And really
incredible,
really, really damning, is the handwritten notes, one from Alan Weisberg, the former, CFO of Trump Organization, and from Donald Trump, where they basically were doing the math on the invoice or on a piece of paper about how the payments were going to work. And it was here in their written by them is the plan. And
here's what they did.
And here's how all those people, I mean, like, the guy is guilty as sin. And just, wow.
Yep. He did the crime. And I don't know if jail time is going to be the outcome of this. There's a lot of people that commit these crimes and don't go to jail.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Peggy brought up a good comment in the in the chat. She said, don't they also have to ask for an grant an apology? Doesn't someone held in contempt and have to go to jail, to end the going to jail, they have to say, I did the thing that I was sent to jail for, and I regret doing it. I apologize.
And we know that Donald Trump has said,
imagine.
Yeah. Donald Trump himself, baby Christian, who with a Christian faith that is built on the idea of confession and repentance, Donald Trump famously said that he has never apologized for anything in his life.
Yes. You think he's going to apologize? You think he's going to look at that judge and say, so there's just a lot of little features to this stuff. Yeah. That's, he's not going to be in an orange jumpsuit and, overnighting in jail, but I don't know. He could go here's the thing in my mind. It's such a nightmare. We shouldn't have to be dealing with this. There are so many other people Republicans could pick. Just be done with the guy in jail conversation. Yeah. Just be done with it.
Yeah.
Instead of, what do you think the upside is to him going to jail?
Is he the only option you have? If Joe Biden is so horrible and is a president and so beatable, like the worst president in the history of the United States, save Jimmy Carter, as you all claim. If he's this bad, couldn't a dog killing governor from the Dakotas beat him? You have to risk it all on this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It betrays a couple of things. It betrays the truth about Joe Biden is that he's not the worst president in the history of the country.
And apparently he's not so beatable because he couldn't beat him last time.
Yep. And it also betrays the fact that the Republican Party is not a truly functioning political party. It is, it is wholesale an arm of the Trump campaign. Yeah. And all of this is showing that. And if I'm a Republican, who takes my party seriously, I've got to be ripping my hair out over all of this, much like the former lieutenant governor of Georgia,
who is a man for whom would not want to be ripping his hair out. He has a very fine head of hair.
Yeah.
It's Rob Reier sea level.
Oh, well, come on.
It's a great.
I wouldn't go that far.
His name is Jeff Duncan, spelled with a G. Yep. Don't trust a man spelled with a G. Grew up that way. I don't actually think that. I know lots of great Jeff spelled that way. But Jeff Duncan, here's the thing. Former lieutenant governor in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, current governor of Georgia, which one might hear the word governor in Georgia when they hear former lieutenant governor of Georgia, Jeff Duncan. What you hear is governor Georgia. This is a guy who's no longer in representative office. Countering Bill Barr specifically and trying to give Republicans the argument, if you are truly a Republican, you should say no to Donald Trump and his criminality and his nonsense, no matter the policy upsides, and vote for Joe Biden, and we'll fix it by having a Congress that will restrain Joe Biden. That's the argument that he put out in an op-ed this week. And I'm so glad to see it. We mm-hmm. rage all the time. Where are the Republicans standing up and saying, join me?
Yeah.
I'm not voting for him. And here's why. And be a political, dare I say, leader and lead people instead of just the front of the line. Like you're somehow being a politician is being the homecoming king.
Yeah. We often bemoan people like Bill Barr, who said that, and former attorney general, who said that Donald Trump was not fit to be in the White House, fomented an insurrection January 6th, and I'll vote for him if he's the candidate against Joe Biden. Chris Sununu, governor of New Hampshire, saying the very similar thing, saying Donald Trump's a threat to democracy, and I'll go ahead and vote for him.
Yeah.
And we bemoan these folks when this happens, and so I think it's really important to celebrate Jeff Duncan and say, okay, here's someone who's you know, saying what needs to be said. And again, Georgia is one of those, one of those swing states. We talk about it often that this election, like the last one, regardless of what the popular vote is, will be decided by 10,000 votes here, 10,000 votes there in specific states. And so it's not so much does this, like, does Jeff Duncan's non-endorsement of Trump or his endorsement of Biden, does it resonate with Republicans around the country? That's not the important question. The important question is, does it resonate with Republicans in Georgia who know and like and trust Jeff Duncan? Because let's be honest, Doug, you and I follow politics. If we had been asked yesterday to name a former lieutenant governor of Georgia, we wouldn't have been able to do it. Right? Wouldn't have been able to do it. Can you even, can you name the, can you,
lieutenant can governor you name the, of any state other than Minnesota?
Yeah, I was going to ask, can you Peggy even Fleming. Name the lieutenant Peggy Fleming, the skater?
Penny Fleming. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I can't, my lieutenant. I can't. Name
My lieutenant governor is a woman named Leslie Rutledge, famous for a horrifically embarrassing episode of one of Jon Stewart's talk shows, where she was absolutely destroyed by Jon Stewart. So,
sorry for your loss.
But all this to say, the people in this matters not nationally. This matters in Georgia, where there will be Republicans who Jeff Duncan has now given them a permission structure to not vote for Donald Trump. And Georgia is one of those states where it matters.
Yep. Peggy Flanagan. Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota.
There you go.
It's just an old man slip up there. Yes, I think that is exactly it. 11,779 votes was the difference in Georgia. Are there 4,000 people across Georgia who would be like, I can't do it. Didn't do it last time. Not gonna, or did do it last time, but I'm just done with the guy.
Yeah.
The governor gives me a little support. Are there 2,000 that say, come on, he's guilty of this stuff. He's in contempt of court. It's so petty. It's such a dumb thing to do.
Yep.
To just defy the demands of the judge. To just not say things about jurors or witnesses. To not witness tamper. Like, yeah, look, it's just nothing but a nightmare for this guy. And good for Jeff to come out and say, he actually starts the op-ed with, unlike Donald Trump, I've been a Republican my whole life.
And I'll tell you, something to brag about, Jeff.
As somebody, I haven't had the good sense to leave these people since I was four. There's a lot of people who prefer the zeal of the newly converted rather than the lifetimers in pretty much anything. Like, you know, if someone says to you, I grew up playing tennis. I grew up in a tennis family. And another person says, I started playing tennis about 4 years ago. I love it. Might you think the 4 year in one is a little more passionate than the one that grew up inside of it all? So I don't think that's even a great argument. How long have you been in something?
Like, yeah.
Really, Jeff? But I get the point. Like, he's saying, if you too consider yourself a lifelong Republican, you too can do a thing that keeps you a Republican by not voting for the current Republican. I'm glad to see it. May 7th is a fine day for this to come out. I guess maybe yesterday, May 6th. So they're going to lay out, you know, a 6 month little campaign here to try to say to people, don't have to do it. And I cheer him on. And Jeff, if you got some time and you want to join us over there in Georgia, look, we'd be glad to. And if you want to swing up and talk to the congressional representative from the district up there in northern Georgia, because I can't remember the number of the district. Do you remember the number?
I think it's 14.
Marjorie Taylor Greene's district?
I think it's 14.
In the 14th district, she's a unifier. Let's just be clear. Marjorie Taylor Greene, representative from the 14th, perhaps the 14th district of Georgia, is a unifier.
Bringing the country together.
She brings the country together to say, you're full of nonsense, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You're full of nonsense.
Stop it. Stop it.
Republicans and Democrats elected to the House of Representatives agree, you have bad ideas.
Yep.
And they tell her this. And apparently, she's very bold and strong in her convictions. And then met with Speaker of the House Johnson yesterday and changed her mind. She's one private meeting away from switcheroo. And so apparently Speaker Johnson is not going to need the Democrats after all to save him, which they had promised to do. They had promised to not give enough support, you know, so that he would be ousted. Yeah. Which apparently that's how the current math works, and I guess that is how the current math works. I'm not entirely sure.
Yep. Nothing to add other than, yes, Marjorie Taylor has dumb ideas. I stand with the rest of the country in saying that.
It's just really in this particular article we're referencing here, there's a quote that says she is about to realize her inevitable
irrelevance.
Thank you. Her inevitable irrelevance. Wow. Okay. All right.
Inevitable irrelevance.
Boy, back to my stuttering classes. She is about to realize her inevitable I'm just going to keep this thing going. She is about to realize her inevitable irrelevance. Oh, almost.
Oh, almost.
About to realize her inevitable irrelevance. She is about to realize her inevitable irrelevance. She is about to realize her inevitable irrelevance.
Yeah.
Okay, with a pause. I'm going to take it with a pause. Oh, that's unbelievable. Aluminum. Peggy just puts in the chat, aluminum. What was the word? What was the word that Mia couldn't say? Mia Pace. I was on the tour. It was so funny.
I don't remember.
I don't know, some word like that. Wow. Inevitable irrelevance. Oh, there we go. She's about to realize her inevitable irrelevance.
Okay, there you go. You got it now. You're over the hump.
Once you get it, she's about to realize her inevitable irrelevance. Yeah. That's just a terrible sentence, though.
Yes, it is.
Maybe it works for print.
Listen, we started a little bit late. I have a doctor's appointment at 11 today, so we can't ramble on all day. And I'm good for about 10 more minutes. Okay. I was starting to get nervous that we were going to spend the rest of the day with you trying to say inevitable irrelevance.
Inevitable irrelevance. Yeah, can you do the whole sentence though? Maybe just show it to me here. Show it to me. Show me the.
Say it to me again.
It's on the screen. Can you see it?
She's about to realize her inevitable irrelevance.
Wow. She is about to realize her inevitable irrelevance.
You had to think about irrelevance for a second before you said it.
She's about to realize her inevitable irrelevance. That's just something else. Everybody at home now. Can everybody at home give it a try?
like all of us who are watching, listening at this point, let's say it.
Come
in unison,
on, Jim.
Folks,
come on, Squirrely Prepper. Come on, Peggy. Let's all give it a try. Somebody call Peggy Flanagan over at the Lieutenant Governor's office in Minnesota and ask her if she would. Okay. That's something else. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, a little bit of good news for human suffering coming to an end, that the nation of Israel and the government of Hamas apparently are on the verge of a ceasefire deal. They're working out specifics. They're to-ing and fro-ing. Israel continues to move its military in to take over places like Rafah. I mean, what are they going to do? This is just, it is such a stupid mess that Israel has itself in. What are they going to do with all of these areas that are totally now destroyed? The United States of America in the Marshall Plan put together a massive rebuilding campaign to rebuild what they destroyed at U.S. dollars of what was destroyed in World War II. Every time there's a war, it has to be rebuilt. Who's going to rebuild this? You can't go blowing up buildings in a 40 square mile area and destroy it and then tell people to go back home. Where are they going to go? It's just absolutely bonkers. But apparently a ceasefire is on the way. There's, in my view, from the little bit that I heard about this yesterday and today, there's not a great chance that Israel can pull back from this now. If Israel tries to scuttle this over something, because, you know, Hamas has said that they're willing to release hostages, and you've got hostage families that are now like, okay, seriously, what are we doing? What are we not up to? So maybe this human crisis will be over, and maybe this international crisis will also come to an end. I sure hope that's a thing, because if not, they're going to fall into inevitable irrelevance. And as a nation, as a leader, you don't want to be inevitably irrelevant.
You're going to go back and you're going to
called inevitable irrelevance.
Yeah. I feel like you're going to go back and edit the title of this episode, aren't you?
That is just too dang much. Any thoughts on the current? And look, thanks to the college kids for getting out there and really shaking the trees. That's how you get things done. Well done, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. For all of the talk about how, Joe Biden is not swayed by the college students. And I actually think he has been. And and I think that there is, whether he agrees or not, I think there is within the, and this is total speculation, but within the Biden administration, I think that there is a real desire to get this thing wrapped up as quickly as possible.
They wanted this thing wrapped up on Christmas Day.
Yeah, but I think that pressure just continues to ratchet up, and the college students have helped that, not just with their protests and you know, the reaction to them, but also, you know, I'm sure there's polling numbers about, you know, young people support of Joe Biden, and I think that all of that helps, you know, in the sense of urgency that we've got to get this thing taken care of. Now, what's horrible is that it takes, you know, maybe if my speculation is correct, it takes polling numbers to do that, and not the spectrum of, you know, human suffering. That should be enough to have a huge sense of urgency. But, you know, when we're talking global affairs, oftentimes it's not relieving human suffering that is the primary motivating factor for, you know, how governments act.
I don't know. I guess my view is that the U.S. government has been working aggressively and nonstop to try to get a peace deal. And one has come together now. And I think it's more barking at the sky and the sun coming up than it was the sun came up, because people were barking at the sky. But
could be.
I don't know. I mean, then there's the butterfly effect, which someone told me about a long time ago. And somehow that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. Is it? I don't even know. Mm. A butterfly flaps its wings somewhere, and then your hat falls off across the planet.
Yeah. Or something.
I don't know. You bump your head, and you're like, damn, butterfly. And I just like the idea that we can blame butterflies for things.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Does that make you feel better? Yeah.
Oh, it's just ridiculous animals. I say jokingly, I love butterflies.
To shoot one.
Yeah, we don't have time probably to talk about the Christie Nome. I still want to be vice president, so I'm taking all the heat for the stupid things I wrote to her that she's on right now in the media. Though, if she's going to be vice president, this is really smart to get out and do all the shows, answer all the questions about killing the dog, killing the horses, meeting with the goats, you know, meeting or not meeting allegedly with Kim Jong-un and lying about it.
That one. Having in her book. that she met with Kim Jong-un and he didn't take her seriously. And then when she gets pushed on it, she tells them to take it out of the book.
Because that it happened. She made it up.
Incredible. Yeah. And when the interviewer said, is it possible that you met with the leader of South Korea?
Yeah. That's possible. And I saw, I think it was Elizabeth Vargas questioning her today, saying, you read the audiobook version of your book.
Yeah.
When you read this passage, didn't it strike you then that it wasn't true? I mean, so anyways,
let's grant you didn't proofread your own book. Let's grant you didn't type the words in your own book. Let's grant that you didn't dictate to someone the words in your own book.
Yeah. But I remember,
you did read the book, right? Because we could play the audio of you reading the book.
I remember
as the author.
I was my favorite football player of all time, who is not a Cleveland Browns player, is a guy known as Primetime, Deion Sanders.
Absolutely
love him. Deion Sanders several years ago wrote a book, and as a fan of his, I bought the book, and I was amazed when I opened the cover and I'd never seen this in a book before. There was a loose sheet of paper inside the cover of the book, correcting all of the errors in the book.
Oh.
And most of them were statements about so-and-so was the quarterback of this team, threw a pass that I intercepted. And it was just, you know, a quarterback who had never played for that team. And I remember looking at this and thinking, okay, I'm a football fan, and I feel like I know a good amount about football. Deion Sanders clearly did not write this book. Oh. And I closed the book and I never read it because I was it. And so I feel like, you know, what we've got here with Christy Noem is clearly she either used a ghostwriter and she didn't proof it.
Yeah.
Or she wrote it and she lied and now she's been caught. And you know,
or she wrote it and was wrong about really important details about who she met with. Didn't
my
know.
my point is that I
she said Peggy Fleming and not Peggy Flanagan, because in her mind, the North Korean leader and the South Korean leader, is there a difference between the Korean leaders?
Yeah. I mean, is there something vaguely racist there? I think, though, that this media tour that she's on, and she's been everywhere over the last several days, I think it's brilliant, because if she becomes vice president, her answer can simply be, listen, we've answered all these questions.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about
that. Asked and answered. Asked and answered. Yep.
Yeah, we handled all this. And so I think it's, you know, the best possible approach from a political standpoint. And I had completely dismissed Christy Noem as a possible vice presidential pick as a result of what's taken place. But seeing this restoration tour that she's on right now, I think she could be back in the running.
I think we got to get this off here. I think you're right about this, because what she's doing, well, she's doing two things. We're talking about a book that the governor of South Dakota has her name on the front of.
Yeah.
Or wrote.
Listen, you're the governor of South Dakota. Shouldn't you be sensitive to the differences between North and South? Like, somebody wrote a book talking about how they met like, you know, Doug, what's his name, who is the, you know, the other Dakota governor, and like, you know, they met you, but they said they met him instead. Wouldn't that be offensive to you? Don't you care about people understanding the differences between North and South?
Now,
you
should
know
that's
the difference
not what
between
happened. The person just tried to let her off the hook with it. She said no. Well, she actually
it's
said
so
I'm not,
ridiculous.
I'm not
people are suggesting explanations, because the explanation that makes the most sense is she lied.
Yeah. And why would you? Like when you're meeting with a dictator on a terrorist list that you're not supposed to meet with as a sitting representative in the United in the House of Representatives, which she said she was at the time, why would you make up a story about you violating international law?
She like, made up that story because she wants to be.
Do you want
to
be?
She wants to be vice president of the United States, and we know that Donald Trump's favorite person on the planet, not named Vladimir Putin, is Kim Jong-un. I got a doctor's appointment. I got to go to.
And he didn't take her. And he didn't take her seriously. Well, the other thing is, look, we're talking about her book right now. You know, what we wouldn't be talking about Christy Noem's book if this stuff wasn't in it. So if you're selling books right now and you're doing media appearances,
shoot animals.
Like, what am I going to do after I'm no longer the governor here? And if I'm not going to be a vice president, you're trying to build. You got a cameo career of making cameo videos like Sarah Palin and others. And I mean, her like with a gun pointing at innocent animals. There's a lot of people who want her to make a cameo about that. So I don't know.
Absolutely. Maybe that's what's up. Did you see the news? And again, I gotta go. Did you see the news that George Santos dusted off his alter ego, his drag queen alter ego, and did cameos as her?
Oh my dear God, no. Did he?
Yep, he did. It's a crazy world we live in, Doug. It's a crazy world.
Bye, everybody. Do not fall into inevitable irrelevant. Bye.